From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Out in the wild, it's increasingly common to see people doing it for the gram. They are posing on ledges in national parks, hiking off trail for the perfect shot, looking to experience hashtag nature through the screens of their phones. Instagram and social media photos can encourage new visitors to our national parks and wild spaces, but it can also lead to overcrowding, especially in the fragile, once hidden places now geotagged and splashed all over your feeds. In 2018, for the fourth consecutive year, national parks hosted more than 300 million visitors. Is Instagram ruining the great outdoors? Do we now need a hashtag to reject the geotag? Well, this hour on Point, when nature goes viral, and you can join us. Have you seen hordes of Instagrammers while you've been traveling in the backcountry of America's wild lands? Are you among them? Is Instagram or social media in general ruining the way we experience nature and those natural spaces themselves? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. And yes, I always feel a little strange when we talk about social media-driven trends and then we say, find us on social media, but that's the life we live in. Joining us first today from Flagstaff, Arizona, is Annette McGivney. She's a journalist and Southwest editor for Backpacker Magazine. She co-wrote a piece for The Guardian headlined, Crisis in Our National Parks, How Tourists Are Loving Nature to Death. We have a link to it at onpointradio.org. Annette, welcome to On Point.
Hi.
So first of all, tell me, okay, what are one or two of your favorite wild spaces in America, and have you seen the Instagramming hordes there?
Well, I guess my very favorite wild space is deep inside the Grand Canyon. In fact, like some places that are kind of off trail. So fortunately, a lot of the Instagrammers don't go farther than about 3 miles into the Grand Canyon. So I haven't seen hordes of hikers just in that spot in the Grand Canyon there to get photos because it takes more than a day okay. of hiking to get there. But definitely Grand Canyon. I live near the Grand Canyon. I moved here so that I could be close to it. So I have seen hordes of Instagrammers on the rim of the Grand Canyon quite a bit and, you know, a little farther down. And certainly where I live in the Southwest with the iconic landscapes that are all around Flagstaff, right. Arizona, we've got, you know, Instagrammers everywhere. I mean, I've had to drive around them in the middle of the highway in Monument Valley because they don't even care about being run over.
Wow. So it sounds as if there has been a significant change in the past, I don't know what, 5 years in terms of the number of people who are being drawn to spaces because they saw it on their Instagram feed?
Definitely. I mean, I have been going to places like the Grand Canyon long before there was even a cell phone, you know, where the cell phones were the size of bricks, so you would never take one. And so, you know, 10 years ago, I saw people with cell phones taking photos. But definitely, like, within the last 5 years, it's become, you know, just so many people sort of obsessed with getting photos in a way that, like, it almost seemed like that was the purpose of their being there. And I would say that has been a transformation that's happened in the last 5 years.
The purpose being to get the photos. So it's almost like a new kind of trophy hunting.
Right. Yeah. And it's almost like, you know, are you here to get the photo or are you here to, like, lay your eyes on one of the world's most beautiful natural wonders?
Right. Well, so I want to play a little bit of tape for you, Annette, if I could.
Okay, sure.
Because this has to do with one of the places where people are flocking, definitely, to get that Instagram shot. Vice News visited California's Antelope Valley Poppy Reserve in April during super bloom season. Now, I'm sure folks have, if they haven't visited there, they've seen pictures of these vast fields of gorgeous poppies. And photographer Aiden Blesses and model Emma Dewing told Vice why they showed up.
Emma's a model, so we decided to grab some IG shots, you know, some of the classic look.
Everyone from LA is taking these Instagram shots, so that kind of like made me a little bit cringy about the idea of taking photos. But then I'm looking at the flowers and I'm like, they're so pretty. I should put a dress on and be like everyone else.
I appreciate her honesty in it, but also it makes me cringe a little bit to hear that. I mean, what's your reaction to hearing that people are so drawn to these places because of just the pictures?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's that whole, you know, FOMO thing, fear of missing out. And I feel like that is so contagious in our culture right now. And you know, the Instagram photos of nature, especially in summer, is a big driver to people feeling like if you're not out there getting that amazing photo and showing how you're at the bottom of this waterfall or on the edge of this cliff, you're a loser, you know? And so I feel like it makes people be driven to get the photo to prove they're not a loser versus having what I call a direct experience with nature, which is being there and feeling the solitude and the quiet and hearing the wind and, you know, like you're not even thinking about the photo. You're just being absorbed by the beauty of the place. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people who are just like seeking these Instagram photos even know what that is or what that feels like.
Well, so on the other hand, though, let's step back for a moment and acknowledge that seeing these images in people's Instagram feeds, first of all, it's giving them at least a visual entree into the grandeur of our public lands, right? And I think it's right. good for people to know that this spectacular nature belongs to us all and it's out there for right. us to responsibly enjoy. And I underscore the word responsibly there. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
You know, before I totally trash Instagram too much, I just want to acknowledge that. And so shouldn't we be celebrating the fact that maybe perhaps we're seeing these growing numbers of people coming to national parks because of what they saw in their Instagram feeds?
Right. Absolutely. And I am not saying that people should not get out there. I feel like if, you know, people aren't getting out there to be in nature, whether even if it's just to get an Instagram photo, then there's no constituency to protect it. So I do feel like there's a very positive, you know, aspect to what's going on with more and more people getting out there and being drawn to the beauty. And so I think that that's a good thing. It's just, how do we move forward? You know, like, do we continue down the path that's going on right now with people, you know, just kind of going to places to get photos? Or should we broaden the dialogue to think about, you know, what are we really seeking when we're getting that photo? Is it just the photo or is it something more?
Right. Well, we are talking this hour about Instagram and whether or not seeing all those beautiful pictures of America's natural wonders are ruining those very natural wonders themselves as we swing into or we get into the summer season here. And by the way, when you call in, be prepared for me to ask you what your favorite natural place in America is. So Annette, hang on here for just a second because I want to just go to the phones. Allie is okay. calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. Allie, you're on the air.
Hi. I was calling about a point that one of my favorite places, by the way, is something you guys have been mentioning out in the Southwest area. And I've been interested in going to a place called Havasu Falls in Arizona that you just can't even visit anymore because of the popularity that it's brought on Instagram and other places like that.
So you can't visit anymore because it's too crowded or you need a permit now to go visit? Why can't you visit it?
So they started issuing permits a little bit ago. I was originally thinking of taking my boyfriend sometime this year for his birthday. He went maybe 10 years ago, and it used to be a place that you could just walk in, camp at the bottom. There's a hotel there, visit, take some wonderful pictures, enjoy this beautiful scenery, and walk out. But now they issue permits pretty sure once a year, and they go on sale immediately. All of them are bought up in the first 3 hours. Then for the next 2 years, it's completely unavailable unless you're going to buy out someone else's ticket.
And are some of the folks who are getting these permits, do you think they're Instagrammers who are just there for that one shot, or are they there to actually enjoy the falls?
I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit of enjoyment there as well, but it's definitely become a one-shot Instagram popularity. And a lot of times you could just helicopter yourself on out of there, not even have to enjoy the actual hike and the experience in.
Wow. Okay. Well, Allie, thank you so much for your call. Annette, what do you have to say to Allie?
Well, I've actually written a book that's about the Havasupai Reservation where Havasu Falls is located. And my book is actually digs into the history of that place, which is it's on a Native American reservation, the Havasupai Reservation. It's not in Grand Canyon National Park. The Havasupai are trying to manage the crowds that are coming in. And exactly like she said, to get those photos of them standing at the bottom of the waterfalls. And the permits do go, you know, are sold online instantly as soon as they become available. And they, you know, are overwhelmed with with tourists coming down, and that it is out of all of Grand Canyon because of the beauty of the waterfalls, one of the like most Insta famous spots. And but I do feel like what's really sad about all that that I have witnessed from me researching a book for 10 years is that over that time I saw people going down there just marching to the falls to get the photos. They didn't even realize hardly that they were on a Native American reservation or that the people down there were the indigenous people of Grand Canyon, you know, and they didn't even connect with any of that history or natural history of the place. So, you know, I think it's really cool that people are going there and the tourism revenue is very important to the Havasupai tribe. But a lot of people seem kind of oblivious to the larger picture down there beyond the waterfalls.
And is this your book, Pure Land, that you're talking about?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so we should give it a plug here. It's Pure Land, a true story of three lives, three cultures, and the search for heaven on earth. Annette McGivney, stand by here for just a second because we do have to take a quick break. We are talking this hour about Instagram and the proliferation of those spectacular photographs in your Instagram feed of America's natural spaces and the fact that many of those photographs are geotagged. So what was once remote and fragile and pristine is now getting run over by Instagramming tourists. Is that a problem, or is it opening the door to more of us loving our natural spaces? Share with us what one of your favorite natural spaces are. You don't have to geotag it for us if you're worried about that, but tell us if Instagram has changed your experience of nature in America. We'll be back. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And as the summer gets underway here, we are talking this hour about Instagram and social media photos and those geotag photos and whether or not all those beautiful pictures of Mother Nature and America's natural spaces are ruining those very same spaces. And we've got, God, wow, a lot of comments coming in online, of course. Mark, Mark 788, I guess, says, nothing improves the experience of a majestic landscape, a massive poppy bloom, a dramatic sunrise, or even eating dinner like a phone on a selfie stick, or an army of people with selfie sticks getting in your way and trampling everything in sight. Hashtag thanks. But on the other hand, the meticulous potato says, yes, Instagrammers should be respectful of trails in nature, but don't be stingy with the fact that more people want to experience our beautiful national parks. Older people need to accept that younger people like taking pictures. Well, we're joined today by Annette McGivney. She's Southwest editor for Backpacker Magazine. She's with us from Flagstaff, Arizona. And joining us now from Corvallis, Oregon, is Ashley D'Antonio. She's assistant professor in nature-based recreation management at Oregon State University. And she studies how outdoor recreation impacts the environment. Ashley, welcome to On Point.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, and full disclosure here, I am a proud graduate of Oregon State University, so go Beavers!
Oh, yeah!
But first of all, Ashley, let me get... You heard what Annette was saying before the break there in the first part of the show here. Do you see an emerging crisis in our natural spaces because of all the Instagramming hordes, or is that too extreme a word for the changes that we're seeing?
I think it could be a little bit extreme from the science perspective. We don't really know if social media and Instagram is the only thing that's influencing the hordes of people that are coming to our public lands. There's a lot of things that are happening in society right now that I think could be contributing to this increase in use we've been seeing. And I think social media is part of it, but I don't think it's the whole story. It could be things like good economy or people wanting to travel closer to home or all the focus around how great nature is for our mental health and for our physical health. And so I think there's a lot of things going on, but social media is a piece of it.
Okay, so what impact then is the overall growth having on some of these natural spaces? Because, you know, we're talking about places that aren't necessarily like the boardwalk around the geysers in Yellowstone. I mean, some of these spaces are off, they're in the backcountry, they're quite fragile. They've never seen the numbers of people that we have now.
Right. Yeah, that's a really important point. So some of these spaces that are, you know, being geotagged or becoming viral on social media weren't really designed, or the managers don't have the resources there to manage the people that are arriving. So it may have been a social trail historically. A trail that people make is a social trail, not one that managers put put in. But visitors have created a trail, and now there's tons of other visitors there, and there's many social trails, or the trails are unsustainable. And so that can become an issue.
Wait, can
for
I just
sure.
Can I jump in here? So yeah. Social trail, meaning mm-hmm. that it's a trail that's sort of crafted on social media, and you follow it as you go into those spaces?
Good question. Yeah, good point of clarification. Not exactly. So they're also called visitor-created trails. So it's a trail that just from people hiking off trail time and time and again, a trail will form that looks like it's quote-unquote official, but it's not. Managers did not put that in there. So park managers, National Park Service, for example, didn't build that trail to that space, but visitors have created the trail to that location.
But that's happening regardless of social media, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's been happening for a very long time before the advent of social media. But some places can then kind of be on the map, and then if visitors are trying to find it, they can create multiple social trails down to a location, or it can become an ecological impact. Vegetation's loss, soil can become compacted, become very dense, and it's hard to have plants regrow there and that trail kind of recover over time.
Uh-huh. So let me turn back to Annette McGivney here. Annette, respond to what Ashley's saying about the fragility of some of these spaces.
Right. Yeah, definitely in the Southwest, you know, you've got ruins, archaeological sites that can be, you know, have been there for 1,000 years and people can topple them over or, you know, destroy them in other ways that are very sensitive to, you know, humans. You've got soils that are very fragile, called cryptobiotic soil, and one footprint can last for hundreds of years and destroy the life of that crust soil. And so it is true that it's not just social media that's driving people. And so it's definitely a mixed bag of it. It's good for people to want to experience nature for a variety of reasons. But the trick is that, you know, do we have the infrastructure with the public lands and the support from the federal government to protect the public lands while people are experiencing them?
Right. So, Ashley, I mean, I think Annette's just brought up a very good point. Do you think we have the infrastructure or the federal support to preserve and protect the public lands as we want more people to enjoy them?
Yeah, I agree with Annette. The support has been, as visitor use has been increasing, if you graft it, as visitor use has been increasing, support has stayed steady or declined. So a lot of these spaces don't have the personnel, the staff, or the money to build the resources and the infrastructure that we need to protect these places. So I think that's compounding this issue of increasing visitor use, is that our public lands aren't getting the support they need to kind of deal with or manage this rapid increase of use.
Okay, well, you know what? We've got a lot of callers who have something to say about this. So let's go to them. Sarah's calling from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. My comment was kind of driven on the back end of this influencer kind of geotagging deal. So what I'm thinking is a lot of my friends, I'm a photographer as well, a lot of them work with brands that actually sponsor these trips and give them an allowance to go on maybe some of these trails or some of these areas that, you know, most Instagrammers or most people wouldn't necessarily see. And so they're able to create content that's very, you know, high level waterfall type or camping in the woods type feel. And so my comment is kind of driven on like kind of the brand's influence on how these social trails and how these photos are making it onto Instagram and becoming geotagged. I think that they hold some of the responsibility. However, you know, obviously that's a small pocket, but with the larger influencers that have, you know, 70, 100,000 followers, you know, they're probably showing off, you know, that geotag in much more capacity than someone that has a couple hundred followers.
I see. Sarah, thank you for your call. Ashley D'Antonio, what do you think about that? That there are some influencers, at least, who are supported by corporate money to get out there and take these shots.
Yeah, that's a great point. I do think that, you know, the outdoor industry is growing. It's a huge contributor to our economy. And I do think they have a part to play in this. I don't really, you know, I can't speak for all outdoor industry businesses, but I think thinking about, you know, what are they going to have their influencers do and what are the repercussions of that, and geotagging thoughtfully is something that the outdoor industry might be able to help with in terms of this issue.
Okay, well, let's go to Ed now, who's calling from Rockport, Massachusetts. Ed, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I was out on the West Coast in the 60s and then drove back across the country, stopped in a number of parks. I was absolutely amazed at the number of people who would show up with either themselves or family and then whip down, take a quick picture with a movie camera or just a still camera, and then disappear. You watch them come and go, and you thought they're not really seeing what they're looking at until they go home and look at the pictures.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think this is something new. That's not new. I think the number of people, yes, that may be a problem. And I can see, for instance, look at the sporting goods stores, which are all into recreational stuff. Every one of your big malls, you're getting people to go outside. And whether they're actually really camping or staying in a motel and going to the park for a quick walk and pictures, it's a bigger social issue than just Instagram.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Ed, I take your point very well. Before I let you go, I actually forgot to ask our other caller. We want to share one of your favorite natural places in America with us?
Probably not.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Given the topic of this hour, it's fair enough. Ed, thank you for your call. Now, Ashley D'Antoni, let me turn back to you and Annette here for a second because, I see Ed's point. I mean, the desire to go and take a photo in front of something beautiful is as old as, I don't know, the photography itself, quite frankly. But isn't a fundamental difference today, and we should explore this a little bit, the fact that phones will automatically, or can automatically geotag these locations to a very, very precise level. So the difference being that beforehand, if you saw a picture of some place in the Redwoods in California, you may not know exactly where it is, but now you can literally go to that exact same spot. Isn't that fundamentally different?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a big difference with social media. It has exact location. It's also instantaneous, where before you might have gone home and, shared the photos with your family and maybe told a few people where that place was and they could go. But the geotag makes it quicker and easier to find those places, which, again, has some positives to it as well, that those places could now be more accessible to folks who may not have realized that public land existed or may not have realized that that's a place they could go. But it does change the way people find information related to these spaces.
Annette, what do you think about that?
Right. I agree. The geotag is also a problem. I also feel like the issue around about what Ed brought up is, people have been taking photos for a long time, but then, when their vacation is over, they drop their film off at the developer, and then a week later they'd get the photos. So, and then maybe a week after that, they might share them with just a limited group of friends and family. And that's very different than, taking an Instagram photo right there on the edge of the Grand Canyon and sharing it immediately and getting immediate reactions from people to your Instagram, like liking it. And what I've seen is that, while this is a good thing, being able to take photos and enjoying the place, that immediate response and sharing robs people of the beauty of the present moment of being in nature and just saying, wow, look at this place. Instead, they're looking at how many likes they just got from the photo that they posted 1 minute ago.
Right.
And so they're sort of living in a different time than the place they are, in nature at that moment.
Well, Annette and Ashley, hang on here for just a moment because I want to bring into the conversation Kate Solit. She's joining us from Jackson, Wyoming. She's executive director of the Jackson Hole Travel and Tourism Board. The board debuted a campaign called Tag Responsibly, Keep Jackson Hole Wild. They debuted this campaign in November. So Kate Solit, welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having me.
I actually just want to play a little bit from the marketing campaign around Tag Responsibly. And here it is. This is what you're telling people to do.
It's pretty simple. When you're ready to share a photo of one of the many breathtaking areas of our vast wild, we ask that you skip the specific location tag. Instead, share your photo using our generic location tag. Tag Responsibly, Keep Jackson Hole Wild. In doing so, you'll help preserve our natural treasures for generations to come.
So, Kate Solit, what is tagging responsibly? What does Jackson want people to do?
So, essentially, the Jackson Hole Travel and Tourism Board is responsible for promoting travel and tourism. Just to be clear, that is our role. But we want to do so in a manner that's consistent with our shared values of our community. So we created the Tag Responsibly campaign essentially because we identified growing a growing problem of people who were bringing detrimental traffic to our fragile ecosystem. So we created this campaign to have people be more mindful before they geotag a location. Really, we want people to have a intentional, meaningful experience while they're visiting our area. And we find that it's better achieved when we seek local knowledge as opposed to visiting an area based on a pin on their phone.
Right.
So essentially, we'd appreciate if people would speak to a local and gather information before just going to an area based on a geotag on their phone.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you there, Kate, but can I just ask you a quick question about, I think there are a couple of particular places which kind of serve as the poster child around Jackson for why you're trying to do this. Because I was reading about Delta Lake in the Tetons, that it's been, it's suddenly become much more popular. Can you describe to me where Delta, well, maybe not where it is, but what Delta Lake is and why is it so pristine and beautiful?
Sure. So Delta Lake is a spectacular lake in Grand Teton National Park. And about 3 to 4 years ago, it used to be that a handful of people would go to Delta Lake. It's an unmarked, unmaintained trail in Grand Teton National Park. And suddenly, with the advent of the geotagging, Instagram geotagging, we started to see tremendous traffic to Delta Lake. It went from 3 to 4 people a day to 145 people a day who were going to this lake based on a geotag on their phone. So rather than having local knowledge about the elevation gain, it's a 9-mile round trip hike. It's a pretty difficult hike. You have to cross boulder fields. It's a 2,300 elevation gain. So people were going there not prepared or ill-prepared for this area. So what was happening, in the very least, they were not having a great experience, and at most they were having to be rescued or they were getting injured because they were just not prepared to go on this hike. So,
So this is a really interesting example. And Kate, hang on here for just a second, because Ashley, I wanted to ask you about this. What we haven't actually discussed is when people are following or trying to get to places where those Instagram photos were geotagged, as Kate's saying, they don't have the local knowledge of the country that they're, or the, you know, the land that they're hiking or walking through. This actually can, in some cases, be a little dangerous.
Yeah, it can definitely be a safety issue. And sometimes, you know, like Kate was saying, the trail down to Delta Lake was not one built by managers. And so visitors created it, which doesn't mean it might not be the safest or most stable or the most sustainable trail either. And so sometimes going to these places where visitors don't know that this was not a maintained trail can also just be a safety issue. And if people don't know where they are, they might not know how to tell people, search and rescue, or people where they are located to help them, to help get help to them quickly. So it can become a safety issue when folks are going places they're unfamiliar with or traveling on trails that aren't maintained by managers.
Yeah. Well, Kate Solid, I'm seeing that the Jackson Tourism Board has these very engaging posters trying to get the message out about geotagging responsibly. I mean, the poster is asking, how many likes is a patch of dead wildflowers worth? And one little tag, one big problem. Have tourists coming to Jackson responded positively to your efforts?
For the most part, yes. I mean, we've seen a growing increase in the use of the tag. We're up to almost 3,000 geotags for the tag Responsibly Keep Jackson Hole Wild. We've had photographers, skiers, magazines jump on board with the campaign. And just to be clear, we're not trying to keep people away or exclude anyone. You know, on the contrary, the more people who know about and appreciate our public lands, the more stewards we have for protecting them.
Well, Kate Solit, Executive Director of the Jackson Hole Travel and Tourism Board, the board debuted a campaign called Tag Responsibly, Keep Jackson Hole Wild. It was a great pleasure to have you on the show, Kate. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Well, we are talking this hour about social media, and particularly in this case, Instagram, and all those beautiful geotagged photos of America's natural spaces, and whether or not those pictures and the hordes that are drawn to those places are ruining our natural spaces themselves. We'll be back. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We are talking this hour about Instagram and its impact on America's wild places because of all that geotagging and those Instagram influencers who are filling your feeds with beautiful photos of America's grand national spaces. But that's drawing, in part, that's drawing a lot more people to these places, some of which are very fragile. So are they ruining the nature itself? I'm going to get to a bunch of callers, but warning to you all, I might ask you about what your favorite natural place in America is. I'm joined this hour by Ashley D'Antonio. She's an assistant professor in nature-based recreation management at Oregon State University. She's with us from Corvallis, Oregon. Annette McGivney joins us as well from Flagstaff, Arizona. She's Southwest editor for Backpacker Magazine. And let's go straight to the phones. Julie's calling from New Orleans. Julie, you're on the air.
Hello. I was asked by my sister not to post locations because she said it seems like every time I go somewhere and I post locations, that area gets ruined. And I had been thinking a lot about that, you know, before she told me, because I go to the same areas in Louisiana a lot. You know, they really help me. I kind of document how nature has helped me to heal. And so I've noticed going back to these places, they become more touristy areas. Mm. That have been secluded have been cleared out to make room for tourist buses. There's litter. Fisheries have come in and, you know, cleared out delicate marsh areas so that more people go there. They can fish easier. They can get closer to the water, whereas that area was for birds nesting. And so now I've cut back dramatically on even my pictures. I had made the conscious decision within these last few days to not post locations.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting that I came across this this radio broadcast.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for your call. And just before I let you go, you want to at least give a shout out in name form to one of your favorite places?
I really love Bayou Sauvage.
Okay, great. Well, Julie, thank you so much for your call. Annette McGivney, Julie is making a conscious decision there to perhaps not post as many photos. I'm also seeing that on Instagram itself, some Instagrammers are adopting a hashtag called #NoGeotag, right? And we've even got commenters writing in online saying it is possible to turn off the geotag feature on some apps. So is this what we're seeing, the emergence of a new etiquette when we're out in America's natural spaces? We've always had the underlying rules, which I wished everyone would follow. You got to pack out what you pack in. Maybe this is just another toolkit in the etiquette that we all ought to follow.
Right, Meghna, you definitely bring up an excellent point, is that there is an organization called Leave No Trace that's about outdoor etiquette. And in the beginning, it was just about how to not love nature to death through trampling, off trail and camping in the wrong places. And now I know that Leave No Trace has evolved to adopt etiquette around social media and how to protect public lands and the outdoors in that way. And so I think, you know, this is very much an evolving topic, and it has come out of exactly like what, you know, the callers have talked about is like seeing places that have, you know, been filled with litter and cars, you know, that were a result of Instagram. So I think just now it's starting to become in the public consciousness of that just because you can geotag something doesn't mean that you should. Mm-hmm. That because we have these technology features doesn't mean that we should use them. And not using a geotag and forcing someone to research the place on their own forces them to realize like, oh, you know, this is at 10,000 feet,
right?
You know, and maybe I should take a jacket, you know, like that all that comes from researching a place instead of just following your phone geotag.
Maybe we should take a jacket to 10,000 feet at the bare minimum, I would say.
Right.
Let's go back to the phones. Noel is calling from Old Town, Maine. Noel, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
My comment is just that while in my experience as an outdoors person, I have run into all these issues, unprepared people, damage to natural spaces. I've also found that outdoor recreation can be really a privileged space. It tends to be white, rich people. And I've also seen that some of this sharing on social media can really democratize that space. It can be the first way that people who didn't grow up with that access to outdoor spaces get to learn about and have knowledge about these wonderful spaces and get inspired to go explore them.
Right. So, Noel, I thank you so very much for your call because it's a very important point. And I want to get Ashley D'Antonio's thoughts on that, because I think Noel's exactly right, Ashley. I mean, for a lot of people, seeing these images first and foremost alerts them to, yes, these are natural spaces that belong to us all as American and as Americans, and perhaps it makes them feel more accessible than they might have otherwise felt for a lot of folks who would have never thought to even visit some of these places.
Yeah, I agree 100% with Noel's comment. And I think that's one of the benefits of social media and possibly a benefit of geotagging. I was kind of on Annette's view of, you know, we shouldn't geotag or geotag thoughtfully. And then recently my views kind of changed a little bit. Danielle Williams, who's the founder of Melanin Base Camp, which focuses on getting people of color to participate in outdoor recreation, had this great blog post talking about how not geotagging can be a little bit of a gatekeeping activity. Mm-hmm. And that if we want to increase diversity, equity, and inclusion in our protected areas, that we need to use social media as a way to advertise to people that these are spaces that are for you, and here's how you access them, and you know, you are welcomed here as well. This is not just a space for upper class white older individuals, mm-hmm. which is generally who we see in our national parks, at least.
So how do we then combine the need to really, as I think democratizing these public spaces is the right way to look at it, and how the social media might help that with preserving them at the same time? I mean, is there something that these Instagram influencers can do when they post their pictures by saying, yes, this is beautiful and here's how you get here, but also stay on the trail? I mean, there's got to be a way to bring those two things together, Annette. Do you think?
Yes, definitely. And I feel like part of, you know, what should be included in everyone's, you know, experience of, you know, going to a place to get a photo is also to demand from their congresspeople and, you know, from federal agencies that there be more funding devoted to protecting places, because, you know, the pot of money hasn't grown. So when you have like this crush of people going to a place, the money, you know, for the budget of managing that area all of a sudden goes to building a parking lot instead of researching wildlife and protecting endangered species. And so, you know, it's sort of right. What's happening right now is like limited resources are being shoveled toward just trying to manage the crowds instead of the wildlife and the landscape itself. And so I feel like there needs to be a demand from people to advocate for the protection of these places and the funding.
Right.
You know, to support these places. So it's not so much that there's a problem with Instagram and geotagging. The problem comes with there's not enough funding to protect places.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that leads them to be harmed by the people.
Well, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Annette, but the point you're making right now, we have a caller who wants to say something about that. So let's go to Dave, who's calling from Wausau, Wisconsin. Dave, you're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call and that wonderful transition for me. I would like to, I guess, issue a challenge to all of the social media influencers who are making a name for themselves for these national parks. So organize a community day with your followers to get out in these national parks and help rebuild these trails. Our funding, like your guest has said, has been going down or not even increasing, but we're getting more use. These are getting broken down. You have the platform to do it. It would be a great PR thing for you, and the park is gaining out of this. And we've eliminated at least a portion of that, hey, the funding's not there. We can help. These are our parks. Let's do something about it. Put down your phone and pick up a shovel.
Dave, thank you so much for your call. I feel like we're at the beginnings of perhaps a new hashtag. I don't know what it would be because I'm not good at that kind of marketing, but a new hashtag to get Instagram's influencers to rally their followers to preserve public spaces. I mean, Ashley D'Antonio, what do you think about that?
I think that's a great idea. There's usually in local communities ways to help participate in cleanup days or trail building days to learn about what it actually takes to kind of manage and protect these lands. I think that's really great. I think influencers can also highlight the Leave No Trace principles that Annette mentioned earlier,
that's right.
And kind of help with the education piece too. So the outreach and education is a great way to be able to give back to your public lands.
Well, and especially since, as was noted before in the hour, some of these influencers are being paid by corporations. So perhaps there's room for these corporations themselves to be part of this solution as well. Hint, hint. Let's go to Susan, who's calling from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've gone on a couple of vacations with hardcore Instagrammers, and quite honestly, I feel like they're taking the whole obsessive video game inside, you know, being online all the time. Sorry, that's my dog. And taking it outside now. And so now they're permeating the outside. And the other thing is, they never take into account the people that are with them who are always waiting for them to take a million photographs. So just my two cents. Thank you.
All right, Susan, thank you so much. Let's go to Michael, who's calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Michael, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm just calling because I work for a virtual reality production company in Boston called Spectacular Productions. Actually, this is one of the problems that we try to address. As I'm sure your panel is aware, over-tourism is a huge problem all over the world. And we just came back from Sardinia, and there's an island in that northern archipelago there called Budele, and they've restricted access to this small island. They have a quota system, and they let people visit one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we're trying to address with, you know, this VR production company is the ability to transport people to these locations without them leaving a sizable footprint. You know, we are aware that one of the big issues is the balance between stewardship and access, because we've done cultural locations like Pompeii, for example, and even the officials there are very concerned about the number of people, the number of feet on the ground that are going to these locations. So I don't know. I just wanted to make a comment because this is one of the problems that we try to address by using technology. And it's very different from things like geotagging. We don't geotag any of the locations that we go to, and some of them are just not accessible to most people to begin with.
Well, Michael, I'm going to say thank you so much for your call there. I want to get one more call in here. Let's go to Greg, who's calling from Kingsport, Tennessee. Greg, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I maintain the Appalachian Trail through Tennessee. And with a group of people, of course. And we have an area that's quite beautiful called Carver's Gap, which is a bald on top of a mountain. And one of the issues we have is that, you know, we have built a trail, including putting down 40 ton of gravel to try to make a hard surface for people to walk on. And then these trail apps are publishing other ways to go around up the bald. And the balds don't take many paths, much walking on before you start seeing all these paths, which really ruin the look of the bald. And so it's one of the things we're trying to figure out how to deal with. How do you take down some of these alternative trails or else we're going to have to put up barbed wire.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, Greg, thank you for your call. Annette McGivney and Ashley D'Antoni, we've only got about a couple of minutes left here. And I suppose one of the big lessons I'm getting from this hour is that, as with many things regarding technology, really what we're asking people to do, what we're asking ourselves to do, is just sort of think about the impact that our behavior is having, even if that behavior is being mediated through a smartphone. But given all that, I mean, Ashley, it seems very possible to do this if we all just became better stewards of the public lands that we, you know, we all own as citizens of this country.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, my research looks at the ecological impacts of recreation, and one of the things we're finding is that numbers are part of the story, but behavior makes a big difference. That you can have a few people that have a big impact, and a lot of people, if they're behaving and following Leave No Trace and minimizing their impact, can have not that much impact on the environment, right? So I think the behavior is an important piece of the story.
And so, Annette, do you think we can, I mean, your piece in The Guardian was titled Crisis in Our National Parks. Do you think we can get out of this crisis?
I definitely do. I just think, you know, especially people need to reflect on what they're really seeking. Like, yes, they're seeking to get a photo for their Instagram feed, but they're also seeking beauty and that connection to the natural world. And I encourage people to think about that and what's really drawing them. And, you know, in that way, you know, that requires that people protect what they're seeking, yeah, the beauty of nature. And so, you know, that requires more of an activism aspect instead of just being a consumer of photos.
You know, and just hearing you describe that, Annette, I'm just thinking about the warmth of the sun, the smell of the trees, you know, the feel of the rocks underfoot, the sound of the birds, wherever you are when you're outside in America's wild spaces. And there's no way anything that comes through a phone will ever replace the profound reality of that, of being out there.
That is so true.
So what's a place that you think people ought to visit responsibly this summer?
Well, let's see. I guess you're asking me where people, a bunch of Instagrammers, can go.
On point listeners.
I do feel that the Southwest is incredible in terms of not only the iconic landscapes, but the indigenous people of the land, you know, which continue to live here and are very connected to the land. And so I love our national parks, and certainly all the people visiting with the entrance fees does support it. So I feel like, you know, if you're drawn to a place, go there, but go responsibly.
Yeah. And Ashley D'Antonio, you want to give a shout out to the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, there's some great places in the Pacific Northwest, and I encourage people to also check out their state parks and some of their local parks as well that often don't get visited as often. So check out some of your local places. Don't just focus on those big federal lands like the national parks.
Well, Ashley D'Antonio, Assistant Professor in Nature-Based Recreation Management at Oregon State University, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And Annette McGivney, Southwest Editor for Backpacker Magazine and author of Pure Land, A True Story of Three Lives, Three Cultures, and the Search for Heaven on Earth. Annette, thank you so much.
Thank you, Meghna.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a great summer. Responsibly, everyone. This is On Point. Mm-hmm.